Yeah, I'm going to be speaking about prayer. The Lord have laid on my heart this year to just be speaking about prayer. I believe the Lord really loves when His church pray. And Jesus said that my house shall be called an house of prayer. And I believe we are God's house. So we are called to pray. But prayer is such a huge theme in scriptures. I don't think I will be able to cover on everything that the Bible says about prayer. But in my personal life, I am so grateful. I remember in 2013, one day I was having, when I did one of my first events, I did it on campus. And it was going to rain the next day. And I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know when you have an event, you're really wanting people to come. You're not going to sing in front of chairs, you know. So I went to God that night. I was like, Lord, without you, I am nothing. Without you, I can't do anything. Without you, I'm powerless. Without you, I am lost. Lord, I'm leaning on you. Lord, I trust in you. And in that moment, as I was praying, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, make a melody out of this. And I started singing this song. And actually, I did recently, some friends of mine, they run a business, they do videos and stuff. And they came to me and said, Matthew, we would love to promote our business, but we want to use your music. So you don't have to pay for anything. We're going to do everything for you. And I said to them, well, that's fine. I gave them my music. And they picked that song that I wrote when I was praying. So I'm going to play you that video. It's on YouTube. It was launched last night. Cool. You can make, Armand, you can just switch off that light so they can see properly.
Without you, I am nothing. Without you, I can't do anything. Without you, I am powerless. Without you, Lord, I'm leaning on you. Lord, I look to you. Lord, I fix my eyes on you. Yeah, I'm in my own.
right. I'm very grateful to God because God is so good, and He really answers the prayer. And when I think of my life, a lot of things that God does, He always surprises me. It's really, if I had to have budget to shoot that video, it was going to take me, I don't know how long. But the Lord, in His provision, has done that, not because I'm special, but because of His grace and His love. So I'm wanting us to just think a little bit through this thoughts that the Lord have laid on my heart this morning that I've taken from the conversation that Mordecai had with Esther when there was a plot to kill the Jews while they were in captivity. You can go to the first slide already. And Mordecai was a cousin to her. And at the same time, he kind of played the role of a mentor to her. I'm not going to go into all the details. Most of us know the story. But there was already a plot to kill them. And this is what he said to her, the message that he sent to her. He said, "For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such time as this." And I've taken the theme of this sermon from that statement. You have come to the kingdom for such time as this. And so basically what Mordecai was trying to say to her, well, it's very important for you to understand why God have allowed you to be positioned as a queen in this kingdom. And you have to understand that you're not just a queen because God is wanting to give you some time to have some glory. Or perhaps it isn't an accident that you have found yourself in that position. You know, we all do different things and we are in different fields and we have different giftings. Even in families, even in families, you'll find people that are twin, but still everybody carries a specific thing. But God, the Bible says that God does everything for a purpose. God doesn't do things just for the sake of doing. God does every single thing for a purpose. So Mordecai comes to this woman and tells her that, listen, there is all of this plan, but who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such time as this. In other words, to intervene in this matter. But at the same time, he says to her, if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. In other words, Esther, you have to understand, you have to discern what is God doing with you in this season so that you can reposition yourself and act appropriately. A lot of times, Jesus, there is a few times in scriptures where Jesus cried. And one of the times when Jesus cried, he cried over Jerusalem. The reason why he cried because he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you've killed your prophets. If you could only discern the time that was given to you, the time of your visitation, you missed the time of your visitation." In other words, when God was sending prophets, they missed it. They struggled to understand that that was the time actually when God wanted to deliver them. And Jesus stands up in front of Jerusalem and he's crying over the city because they missed the time. They missed what God was busy doing. I believe one of the biggest struggle of Christians, of us as Christians, even as growing up in church, if I think of many people that I've seen in church and with the people that were much older than me or younger than me or my age and pastors and my dad's friends, I think one of the biggest struggles that I've seen in the Christian community, I'm talking about people that are spirit-filled, most of them, it wasn't really an issue of sin. But the biggest problem or the biggest challenge is discerning the time. What time it is and what is the time and what is the kind of commitment and what is the kind of involvement that God expects of me in this particular time. There are a lot of people that have missed a lot of what God wanted to do. If I think of families where, let's say, pastor's kids. Most of pastor's kids that I knew, most of them aren't necessarily in a great place with the Lord. But at the root of that, there is a lot of reason. It could be the devil, it could be their own unbelief, it could be their own negligence. But if I have to think of maybe 4 or 5 families, I would think that there is this particular problem of discerning what time it was and how they had to appropriately respond to the time while they were growing up from the parent side and from their side in terms of engaging with God through prayer, through communion with Him. So let's go to the next slide. So now, if you think of time in Genesis, when God was creating the universe, one of the things that God did, God creates the lights. And it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it says, God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let there be for signs and for seasons and for the days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. Basically, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And what God said, that He created these lights so that they may serve as signs for seasons. In other words, as you will see in other scriptures, the sun was created to rule over the day. It was a sign for the day, and the moon was a sign for the night together with the stars. And you can actually see that from the next slide, when Joseph had a dream, he saw a sun, he saw a moon, and then he saw 11 stars bowing before him. And when Jacob tried to translate that by questioning him, he says, "Does it mean that me and your mother and your brothers should come before you and worship you or and bow before you?" So basically, the stars and the sun and the moon, all of them were created so that we will be able to discern. I think, well, when the sun is risen, it is the day. When you see the moon, then it's night, and we see the stars. So now Isaiah was a very significant prophet in Israel. And one of the things that he said is that I and the children that the Lord has given me serve as signs and warning to Israel from the Lord of heaven's armies who dwell in his temple on Mount Zion. In fact, when you study the names of his children, you actually see that the names of the children meant actually the spiritual state of Israel in that particular period. You will see exactly the same thing when you study Uzziah. Even his children, the names that his children carried, were actually a reflection of what God was doing. In fact, even when he went to marry a prostitute, it was actually a picture of the spiritual status of Israel back then, because a lot of them were already in idolatry. So Isaiah says here that him and his children are serving as signs, other translation, and wonders, and this translation says, and warnings to Israel. So as we read in Genesis, the stars, the sun, and the moon were serving as signs. So let's go to the next slide. So those are the names of Isaiah's sons. Quite long them and funny to pronounce. So yeah, as you can see there. And so when you read in Genesis 37 verse 10, you see the dream that Joseph had about his brother. And what's interesting as well, you see in Revelation when John had this revelation of Christ sitting on his throne, he sees Christ with 7 stars in his hands. And the angel says to him, "The stars that you see are the 7 messengers of the 7 churches." So you will see that trend in scriptures where stars are representing people. Let's go to the next slide. In fact, this is when Jesus is born. Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, there was a sign that appeared, and it was a star. And these wise men, they saw his star, And they came to, they went to the king, and when they spoke to the king, and this is what they say: "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So when that sun, when the star appeared, it was an indication that the king was born from the interpretation of the star that they saw. As again, Isaiah says, "I and my children, we are signs and wonders." So in other words, God, in this particular instance, God used natural means to even display what he was busy doing. In fact, these wise men, they followed the stars to the place where Jesus was actually in the manger with Mary. You can go to the next slide. So now, what is powerful in this thing is that if you read the story of Israel, start with Abraham. God made promises to Abraham. Genesis 12, God makes promises to him. He blesses Isaac. There is a lot of blessing. But what is significant, you'll see that Jacob, even though he received already a blessing from God, his name was changed. And this is a scripture that is actually written during the time when Jacob was about to die. It was in the last times of his life. But Jacob does a significant thing. He could have just kept his promises in his heart. But what he does is Jacob started prophesying over his children. If you read the entire chapter 49, you'll see the promises and the prophecies that he spoke over every child, over all the 12 children which have made then the 12 tribes of Israel. And if you study every tribe, you'll actually see that the trend you see in each tribe was a full-on manifestation of fulfillment of the blessing spoken through Jacob. And this is what I'm saying. This is what I saw missing in a lot of pastors' kids' families. So Jacob, what he did is when he spoke over them, he launched them into their destinies. You know, a lot of people, a lot of times people just grow up and grow up and grow up, and it's about efforts and you know, you need to strategies and Google and YouTube and everything, 7 steps to do things. But there was a very significant thing that Jacob understood. He had to utter the blessings over his children. And you will see the same trend in even over his life. Jacob as well received a blessing from his father. In fact, when he received the blessing, it was a trick. But even though Isaac realized that it wasn't Jacob who came to him, still, the blessing couldn't be canceled because it was already released. That's the power that we have on the tongue. That's the power of blessing. So let's go to the next slide. And when you read, actually, the blessing that Jacob spoke over his children, he cursed Reuben because, you can actually read it. "Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruit of my strength, preeminence and dignity and preeminence in power. Unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence because you went up to your father's bed. Then you defiled it. You went up to my couch." So this is, Jacob blessed him, but at the same time he spoke a curse on him because of what he did. But you will see that when we go to the next slide, when Moses, in Deuteronomy 33, when Moses was in the last days before he died, before he actually died, he also blessed the 12 tribes of Israel. And what you will see in Deuteronomy 33 is that Moses reversed this curse. Moses spoke a blessing over Reuben. Let's go to Deuteronomy 33. This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel before his death. First of all, the people of Israel were already blessed because God says so. Moses understood it, but Moses also understood the power of speaking as a prophet, of declaring the blessing of the Lord. There is something powerful about declaring blessings. In fact, when we come to salvation, we have to declare. We have to confess that Jesus is Lord. This is where there is a little bit of a negligence sometimes. So now from the next slide, if you go to, I wonder if I did put a slide in Deuteronomy 33, I think it's verse 4, when he blesses Reuben. 6. Yeah, it's there. He said, let Reuben live and not die, but let his men be few. So what Moses did, he understood his role as a prophet over the nation. And what he did is, he spoke a blessing, even over Reuben. And he spoke a blessing over every tribe. For example, when you read the blessing that God, that Jacob spoke over Judah, he said, you are a lion. And he said, the scepter shall not be taken from your hands. If you see the trend of the entire tribe, the tribe of Judah, David came out of that. And even Christ is introduced in the gospel as the son of Judah, a son of David, as the lion of the tribe of Judah. But everything was launched through a prophetic word. And this is what happened when we learn to pray as prophets. In other words, we may have promises from God. We may have had received prophecies from God. But God expects of us to step in faith and to speak, to utter these words and to speak these words, to really take part of the birthing process in the natural of what he has said. And that happens through prayer. Prayer isn't just the thing where we have to come and start bringing requests unto God. But prayer is really a space where God has invited us to partner with him, to come into a perfect agreement with him. But it all comes down to understanding what is the role that we play. Because it's very important for us to be able to read the sign in the season in which we live, so that we may appropriately act and pray. A lot of times, people pray from being driven through circumstances, because circumstances may cause us to bring certain prayer. There is nothing wrong with that. But I believe the greater authority we have in prayer is when we understand the perfect will of God and we partner with him. If you read the tabernacle, there is so much that we can learn through that. But you'll see there was like three parts. There was the altar court, there was the holy place, and the holy of holies. And if you study the altar court, if you have to think in terms of prayer, it's almost like the place that reflects where you, a level where you just bring your request and, you know, you pray the words. And it's a very good place where you lay down things and confessing the sins, and you bring the requests, the demands and the prayers and everything, the needs and everything. But then, if you go into the holy place, it speaks about the level where now in prayer, you're not asking about things, but you're seeking God. I was speaking about it, you seek me. You're not seeking for things, but you're wanting to know him. To seek the Lord, when the Lord says, seek my face, doesn't mean he hides himself. It speaks about knowing him on a deeper level. That is another thing. But then the Holy of Holies, that is a different place. That's the place where you almost don't speak. You speak less because the Lord speaks. But then the Lord prays through you. By the Spirit of the Lord, you are empowered to pray. The Holy Spirit prays now through you. In other words, as Isaiah in that season, his life became the vessel through which Israel had to understand the mind of God. They became a sign that God was using in that period to understand what God was up to and how they had to reshape and change their behavior and their actions. Hosea was a picture of what God wanted to do, a sign of repentance. I believe if we have to pray as prophets, it's very important that we get to that place where we truly reposition our hearts so that we don't just pray our mind, but the Lord prays and sings through us. That is what the church is called, the light of the world. Because we do not have a light. Even in the nature, the stars don't have light. They do receive light from the sun. And at night, they reflect the lights they receive from the sun. So if we are signs and wonders, if we are signs and warning in this world, as these stars, as we see as well, the messengers or the angel of the seven churches that the Lord presented in Revelation as stars, then we are called to reposition ourselves under the Son of Justice. We are called to be completely dependent on Him so that we can now in prayer start engaging with God by repositioning completely our hearts so that He can speak through us. So that we can, you know, Cape Town and South Africa, many things are happening. But we can either pray as praying from the outer courts where we can just come and complain, Lord, this is what is happening. Or we can reposition ourselves by discerning our role, the time in which we live, and to truly allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. Where we can get into a place where we can feel what He feels. We can think what He thinks. We can live in perfect agreement with Him. And I believe this is the way Jesus lived. Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father. He said, I do what I see my Father doing. I believe even in our prayers, we are called to really get into a place where we pray the Father's prayer. Where we speak His words. In fact, when Lazarus died, everybody was panicking. But Jesus never panicked because He knew what the Father was doing. And He said to Mary, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of the Lord? Because He already saw the glory of the Lord in the situation. The thing is, how ready are we to step into that place as a church to really be intercessors? And the Holy Spirit is saying to us, like Mordecai spoke to Esther, who knows if it's in such time as this that revival may happen? Who knows if it's in such time as this that if you will dedicate your time and your life to reposition your hearts as a prophet, to utter, to speak blessings over whoever God has entrusted to you, that then revival will happen. Coming back to even the people that I grew up with, pastor's kids, a lot of them, there was just a gap. While they were growing, some of them, is the pastors were pastors for the people at church. They were not necessarily pastors to their own children. And they also didn't understand that they had to launch their children into the destiny prophetically by declaring blessings over them. There are things that that children can do because of advices, because of tips, because of things, but there are things that can only happen if there is a prophetic word that fathers and mothers speak over them. There are things in our families that can only happen if we pray. And there are things that can happen if we have good strategies, we have good advices, we have fun, we have research and everything. There are things we can learn in books, there are things we can learn at school, but there are also things that can only be imparted through the power of the Holy Spirit, because God only changes the heart of man. Only God hold the heart of the king. Today, I'm not under the roof of my parents where they can tell me, they can make sure I went to church. But the only reason I'm still going to church is because God has reached to the place where only Him could reach. So I'm really wanting guys to understand that even the people that God has entrusted to us in the city, it is very important that we discern the time in which we live and reposition our lives as prophets, as Moses, and speak that into being. And you see the same thing, Jesus did the same. Jesus already knew that we were blessed. He actually died on the cross and He did everything. But Jesus, before He died, He did a very significant thing. He prayed. It's called the high priesthood prayer. He prayed for us. He prayed, you find it in John. He said He prayed so that we may be one just as He is with the Father. He could have been silent. In fact, Jesus, even on the cross, He died praying. And He said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Every greatest event, achievement in the lives of Jesus was preceded by prayer. Before He chose the 12, He prayed. While He was being baptized, He prayed. Every single great achievement in the life of Christ was preceded by prayer. And after every single great achievement, Jesus prayed. Even when the 70s came back and said, no, now we cast demons and everything, Jesus prayed. He gave thanks to the Father. So, a lot of times we have a lot of things that we believe God is about to do. But how ready are we to pray and to speak God's mind into situations as prophets? And I believe this is the calling that God has set over us. So that we don't just pray as beggars. We don't just pray from just being driven by our circumstances. But we pray as being led by the Spirit, and we pray as prophets. We declare things into being. But we can only be prophets if we reposition our hearts to really have a perfect communion with God. You know, if we are on a level where the Holy Spirit still has to tell us, pray, 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 pray. It is very important. It's very difficult to step into a prophetic space because we haven't sorted out first the whole issue of prayer. It's still a striving. But I believe if we really want to trust God, if really God has to entrust us certain things, we're going to have to shift from a place where prayer isn't an exhortation anymore that we need from the Holy Spirit, because it's already there. It's a lifestyle. It's part of us. We don't need to be under pressure to pray. It is just there. Then the Lord knows that, well, is there anything that I want to do in this nation through a family? Is there any kid? Is there any boy? Is there any son? Is there any daughter that I want to use in this generation that will serve as a sign of what I want to do? Then he's going to look for the one that are available and ready. Like he says in Isaiah, who will go for us? Who will go for us? Who will be our voice? So in other words, the world or the world around us, when the world wants to know what is God up to, they have to look to the church. But if the church is not praying, if the church is still in the begging mode, it will be very difficult. Because the signs aren't the final destination. They only help you getting to the direction. The final destination. If I get a sign here that says Weinberg, I'm not in Weinberg. It is only a sign that says, if you take this direction, you go to Weinberg. So the church actually serves as a sign to really point people to Christ. But if there is no sign, and if you're a foreigner, you get there, there is no sign, no GPS, guess what? You will get stuck there. You might find yourself in Mitchell's Plain while you're going to Weinberg because you got a wrong sign, or perhaps you just don't know how to do it. But sometimes spiritually we are like that. And the world, when unbelievers come in our midst, they don't know what to do. Or when they look at the way we live and the way we act, they don't know what to do. They don't know where are we really pointing them to. But I believe as a church, God has called us, even individually, even as families, God has called us. I believe there are certain callings that are, different levels of calling that are kind of, I would say, there is an individual kind of calling. Every person has a specific calling. There is a corporate calling as a church. But sometimes there are also certain callings that are God sometimes calls a family. You will see some families where everybody is just like maybe a pastor or then like Kenny's family. You know, too many pastors there. You know, in my family as well, my brother is a pastor and other brothers an elder and stuff. So sometimes God calls every family, but not every family responds to the calling. But I believe it's very important for us to understand what is God up to currently and how can we respond appropriately in prayer. The question is, what is God up to with you in this season? And are you repositioning your heart appropriately and praying accordingly so that God would truly do what he wants to do, like he did with Isaiah, like he did with Jacob, like he did with Jesus, his son. So I would love us to stand and I would love us to pray. And we're going to ask God to really take us back to that secret place, to that place of urgency where we understand that we are his voice, that we are his people, and we are called to be signs and warning in our families, in our workplaces, wherever we are. And if maybe prayer has become a difficult thing, perhaps you just don't have time to pray. Maybe there isn't enough passion. There isn't enough urgency in your heart to really go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want, Lord, what is your mind? I'm wanting to connect with your plan and your purpose. Then I would love you to just raise your voice to God and say, Lord, take me back to the secret place. Maybe you've been feeling very busy and it's just difficult to have time to pray. Maybe you do, but it's very superficial. Or maybe you haven't just stepped into a place where you can prophesy and speak a blessing over whatever scope God has given you. Then I would love you to raise your voice to Him and truly engage with Him. Take us back to the secret place, Lord. Lord, take us back to the secret place. Lord, take us back to the secret place, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We pray, Lord, that you really revive our hearts so that our lives will be a sign that will point people to Christ. Lord, we repent of neglecting you sometimes and even neglecting to pray and only coming to you when we are in crisis. But Father, we want to love you. We want to pray because we love you. We want to pray because we love your presence. We want to pray because you say that your house is an house of prayer and we are your house, God. And we do not want to be beggars, but we want to speak blessing over your children, God, over your people. Lord, we pray that you will give us a revelation of the authority that you have given to us, Lord, to speak life over the dry bones. Lord, there is nothing that is impossible to you. Lord, to bring our hearts. You are the one who changed the heart of stones into heart of flesh. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you will give us your heart, God. So that Holy Spirit, you will pray through us, God. That you will speak through us, God. So that we will feel what you feel for this nation. That we will feel what you feel for this church. We will feel what you feel for our families, God. We will feel what you feel about this city, about this region, God. So that we will then live like Christ. We will do what we see the Father doing, Lord. We pray, God, that you will deliver us from any blindness, Lord, that have hindered us to see what you are busy doing, God. But open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see, God. We can see you, what you're doing, and live in perfect agreement with you. We pray, God, that you will We will sing the right song, God. We'll sing the right songs, God. The songs, God, that in perfect agreement with you. Perfect agreement with your word, God. Lord, we pray that we will not live in desperation, God. But we will live by faith, God. For your word says we do not walk by sight, but we do walk by faith. And if you're here, you've been struggling to just pray, just to have time. Some people call it quiet time and other people call quality time, whatever it is. But if you've been just struggling to pray, just to even have 10 minutes with the Lord, it has become a challenge. Then I would just love you to just put your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. And we're going to really trust God. That he restores the passion. The difference between Saul and David is that Saul understood that the presence of God was important. So when he was in trouble, he even went to see the prophets and he consulted God and God didn't answer him. But David, not only knew how important the presence of God was, David loved the presence of God. That is why he says, "This is the one thing that I ask of the Lord, that I may dwell in his house, to look upon his beauty and inquire in his temple." When we love his presence, we don't want to just use God, but we love to pray. We love to have communion with him. Father, I thank you for those that have raised their hands. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you restore the fire and the passion in their hearts. Your word says that you shall baptize us, Lord, with your Spirit and your fire. Lord, I pray that the fire of your love shall burn again in their hearts, God. Lord, I pray that you will give them grace. Will you awaken them sometimes, even during the day, and give them a prayer request, God. Lord, I pray that you will give them grace, Lord, to respond appropriately and to pray, God. I pray that prayer won't be something that we'll have to strive for, but I pray for a perfect communion with you, God. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you stir up the desire in their hearts, Lord, to have time with you, to have communion with you, not to just use you, but to have fellowship with you, God. To really love you with their hearts, with their mind. Oh, God, I pray that you may deliver them as well from any distraction, God. But I also pray, God, that you give them wisdom and strategies, God, on how to truly come boldly before you and to reestablish them in the secret place of the Lord. Lord, I pray that they will come back into that secret place with you, a place of intimacy. Those that have lost, Lord, that sense of your presence, those that aren't even feeling, Lord, Father God, that presence, I pray that you restore, God, even on an emotional level, to connect with you, God. Lord, those that are feeling distant, God, I pray, God, that you give them a revelation of your presence surrounding them. And I pray that they will respond appropriately. Then I also want to ask, if you hear, perhaps growing up, there was never a time when there was a blessing spoken over you, that a prophetic word spoken over your identity. I believe it is very important for every believer to walk in what God has said. I believe even if our earthly fathers fails, our Father in heaven doesn't fail. Bible says in Christ we have been blessed from all kinds of blessing in the heavenly places. And again, I also want to ask if the biggest struggle is that you can't hear from God, perhaps, or you just don't know what to do. You want to speak these things. You want to prophesy over whoever God has entrusted you, whether it's your children, whether it's your family, but you just don't know how to go about it. The Apostle Paul speaks of gift of prophecy as well, which you receive by the Spirit of God. So if you're here and you've never really received a prophetic word from God, a blessing being spoken over your identity, then I would love you to put your hand up as well. Thanks for that hand. Thanks for that. Thank you, Lord. Then I would love to ask you to come forward. You can come forward this side. But then I'm calling for those who are, you just don't know how to go about it, because Jacob spoke about these things because these things were revealed to him. But if you maybe here, you come to church and you do all of these things, but there isn't a sense of revelation. There isn't a life of really divine direction. Bible says God, it was through divine direction that Noah built his ark and saved his family. You know, when Jesus was born, Joseph was a man that could hear from God. And that is why he was able to take Jesus to Egypt, even when babies were about to be killed. But those who had fathers who couldn't hear, didn't have any connection from God. Bible says there was a mourning in Ramah because babies were killed. The thing is, they were in families. where they didn't have Josephs, those who could hear and connect with what God was saying. And if you hear, maybe you're struggling to hear from God. Sometimes I've also seen people who are only having words during church services. But if you ask them, what is God really doing? They're not really sure in terms of what God is doing in different settings. And I believe God is wanting us to step in as prophets to really speak a blessing in whatever scope He has given to us. So if you're here and it's something that you want to grow in, I would love to ask us, you as well, to come forward. We're also going to pray with you so that God will truly take you into that place where you can just live in perfect agreement with His will and His word. Thank you. Hallelujah. All done.